On behalf of Bishop Kelly and Bishop Santi and all of the priests, sisters, seminarians, I wish you a happy and blessed Easter. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened, for Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore, let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. These words are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in order to truly understand the significance of the resurrection of our Lord and the meaning of Easter, it is necessary to know the history of the Jewish people prior to the coming of the Messiah. The word Easter comes from the Latin word Pascha, which means passing over. And these words, passing over, find their origin in the history of the Jewish race from the Old Testament. The Jews were God's chosen people. In other words, God had a special love for them. However, throughout the Old Testament, we find the Jews being unfaithful to God and murmuring against him and sometimes even falling into idolatry, worshiping false gods instead of the one true God. And God would punish them for their infidelity. At one point, the people of Israel were enslaved and terribly oppressed by the Egyptians as a punishment. For generations, they had served the Egyptians because they had no choice. They wanted to be free, yet freedom was out of their reach. They could do nothing to release themselves from slavery, and thus they cried out to God day and night for deliverance. At long last, God sent his deliverer in the person of Moses. Yet the deliverance from the Egyptians God had planned was to occur in stages. God asked his people to believe his promise, to believe that he would deliver them, even when their workload increased as a result of Moses' entreaties to Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. God sent to the land of Egypt 10 plagues to convince the Pharaoh to release his people. After each plague, Pharaoh agreed to free the slaves, to free the Israelites, and then went back on his word. But finally, the last plague was upon them. This time, God would strike down the firstborn of every Egyptian family after which Pharaoh would drive the people of Israel out of the land. In preparation for this tenth and final plague, Moses instructed the Jews to observe the first Passover. The instructions for the Passover were very specific. God himself laid down the ceremony of that sacrifice. The sacrifice included the slaughtering of a lamb. God gave directions concerning the kind of lamb, the time, the place, the ceremonial rites, the person to kill the lamb, and the persons who could eat it. All of these were given with minute details. Regarding the victim, God gave three directions. It must be a male, it must be a year old, and it must be without spot, stain, or blemish. The families were told to bring the lamb into their homes for 2 weeks, after which they were to slaughter the lamb and roast it over an open fire. They were to mark the doorposts of their homes with the lamb's blood so that the angel of death would pass over their homes and spare the firstborn residing there. Now, this was a ceremony which God prescribed for the Jewish families to perform on the night prior to their deliverance from the slavery of the Egyptians. And all subsequent generations were commanded to keep this feast of Passover as a memorial to the goodness and mercy of God. In the same way, my dear faithful, the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was to shed his blood on the cross and die for our sins, that we may be delivered from the slavery of the devil. And so there was much meaning and symbolism behind this ceremony, foreshadowing the Lamb of God, our Savior. For example, the lamb, as I mentioned, had to be a male, for Christ was a man. It must be a year old to foretell that our Lord would be sacrificed in the youth of his manhood. It must be without spot, stain, or blemish, to foretell the sinlessness of Christ. Many other events of the Passover ceremony foreshadow the sufferings and death of our Lord and our deliverance from the clutches of the devil. During the night, the Israelites fled from Egypt. Then they were delivered from their Egyptian slavery. To foretell how on the night before he died in Jerusalem, our Lord was arrested to be sacrificed to deliver the world from the slavery of the devil. In later years, after their bondage in Egypt, the lamb was killed by the priests in the temple at Jerusalem to foretell how the Jewish priests would later demand of Pilate the execution of the Savior. As the blood was sprinkled on the doorposts of the Jewish homes on that first Passover, and in subsequent generations, the blood was sprinkled on the great sacrificial altar in the temple of Jerusalem, so the blood of Christ was sprinkled on his cross. The lamb was skinned as Christ was scourged and the flesh torn from his body. And then a dead lamb was brought to the house of the Jewish family. There they drove a wooden spit or a stake down through its body along the backbone and out into the tendons of its hind feet. They then carefully opened out its body and drove another spit through the tendons of its forefeet so that the lamb was in the form of a cross. They called this process the crucifying of the lamb, to foretell Christ with his hands and feet nailed to the cross. This was the way the lamb was prepared for centuries before Christ. My dear friends, on the night before he died, our Lord celebrated the Passover with his disciples. With the 12 apostles, he performed the ceremony of Passover in memory of the Jews being freed from the bondage of slavery from the Egyptians. He then offered the first Mass and made his apostles the first bishops of his church. The first Mass offered by Christ on Holy Thursday was a sacrifice. It was the same sacrifice that he would make the next day on Good Friday, but in a different manner. Our Lord would shed his blood on Calvary one time, but through the instrumentality of his priests, the same sacrifice of Calvary would be renewed each day in an unbloody manner in the Mass, in order to win graces for mankind and to deliver him from the bondage of Satan. It is certainly true that Christ, by his death on the cross and by his resurrection, has rendered perfect satisfaction for God's justice and effected man's redemption. Our Paschal Lamb, our divine Savior, my dear faithful, laid down his life for us, for our sins, in order that we may be able to get to heaven and to escape the slavery of Satan. The gates of heaven were closed when Adam and Eve sinned, but by the death of our Lord, those gates were opened and we were given new hope. And that hope was made glorious when on the first Easter Sunday, our Lord rose from the dead. And his resurrection, which we celebrate today, is a pledge of our own eternal glory if we are faithful to him. We must not imagine that there is no further need of doing penance or of working out our salvation. For as the children of Israel, though freed from Pharaoh's bondage, had to fight long and against many enemies in order to gain the promised land, so also must we, though freed by Christ from the servitude of the devil, we must battle against our enemies to the end of our lives, to obtain the promise of heaven. For as St. Paul says, no one is crowned unless he has properly fought. And we must apply the merits of our redemption and satisfaction of Christ to our soul by the frequent reception of the sacraments, by imitating our Lord's virtues, and by patiently bearing our trials and sufferings. Let us this day receive our Lord in Holy Communion with great confidence in his passion, death, and resurrection. And in doing so, we will beseech our Paschal Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come to our aid, to protect us from our enemies, and to bring us to life eternal. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.